Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Greg Marshall entitled Hope Together. This week, he'll be focusing on 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3 as we continue the series Hope Rising. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message on our website at eastbrook.org/sermons.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to know, isn't it, that we have a God who gives a living hope to us. Not just like a distant hope, but something that's meaningful and real in our lives. As we walk through this series, I was excited to be able to have a friend of mine, Greg Marshall, come and bring scripture today. Greg is someone I've known for a while, and he is one of the, I think, most creative and thoughtful preachers that I know. And he also is a dad and a husband. And so I'd just like to ask you to give a warm welcome to Greg Marshall as he comes up to open scripture with us today.
Matt. Good morning, everyone. A couple weeks ago, I was walking through the public market and I saw this dad with who I believe would have been his daughter. Little girl, maybe like 4 years old, and you could tell it was probably her first time ever walking through the public market. Eyes are real big, just taking all this in. She's asking her dad questions, and he's just holding her hand, walking along, and I just was kind of mesmerized by the simplicity of that moment, but for some reason, I was captivated by what was really happening, the magic of it. You know, it's such an ordinary thing, but now all of a sudden you start to, if you give yourself a chance to look deeper, you start wondering and thinking about the magic of what's there. And I was just imagining this little girl's brain. She's seeing this place for the first time. There's all these different shapes and colors and people, and she's right next to the dessert tray thing, you know? And then over here, there's ice cream, and then there's the cheeseburgers and Middle Eastern food, and she's just holding her dad's hand like, whoa. You could imagine, like, all these synapses in her mind are connecting, and her understanding of the world and of herself is all happening right now, and she feels safe and grounded because she has her dad's hand, and she can ask questions, and he's responding, giving value to her questions and her thoughts. She's beginning to understand who she is and what the world is, and so much of it is contingent on how her dad is just present with her in that normal moment. It reminds me that the most extraordinary, enchanted life is actually found on the road you're already on. The fullest life is available in the lives that we actually have. And the good word, the promise from Thessalonians this morning is that we don't have to wait to be really alive. We don't have to wait for some different circumstance or for us to be on some road that we're not actually on. We can be alive in a way that God intends. And there's different ways of being alive. You know, a flower is alive. And my dog is alive. If I go to a flower and I say, want to go for a walk? The flower doesn't do anything. But if I go to my dog and say, want to go for a walk? Freaks out, you know, tails wagging, just all excited, alive in a different way. We can be alive in our actual regular lives in a way that fills us with actual life. And Paul is demonstrating this in the book of Thessalonians. I'm going to summarize chapter 2 and 3 and then read a couple sections and reflect on them with you. Basically, Paul is reflecting on their relationship, how they came to know each other. And he's talking about how, remember how we were being persecuted and we knew that us bringing this gospel to you would put you at risk, but we shared this good news with you and you received it. And it wasn't that you were just impressed with us and how we were saying something. You saw that it was powerful and you trusted it. And we were present to you. We worked hard and we loved you in these ways and we watched you come alive. And he's basically just reflecting and celebrating this relationship that he has with them throughout chapter 2 and 3. And then in chapter 3, near the end, he says this, it gets to the heart of what I want to reflect on this morning with you. Chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, he says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" Verse 8, "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." So Paul is saying, I am fully alive, but Paul's circumstances are bad. He's physically, mentally, emotionally threatened because of what he believes. Things are not easy for him right now. It's tough. His circumstances are bad, but he's fully alive because his sense of being fully alive is coming from something other than his circumstances. His ability to receive the love of God and to share that with others was the source of him being fully alive. He was able to be alive in such a way, caught up in the life that Christ is living here now on earth. He was caught up in that life in a way that allowed him to be present to others so that it was easier for them to believe that God loved them. He was able to be present with his friends to this community in a way that made it easier for them to have confidence in the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And what he's professing is that because he's experienced that, that is the source of him feeling fully alive. He's watching somebody begin to live with faith, hope, and love in a way that transcends their circumstances. And he knows that his presence to them has played a role in that being possible. And it's in that that he's finding life that he's always looked for, that we humans hope for. He's finding it there. Years ago, a mentor of mine said to me, and this is a person that I look up to. He's done some cool stuff, pretty successful person. I'm thinking like, yeah, I want to be like this guy. And he says to me one day, "You know, Greg, the best experience we're ever going to have on earth is when God chooses to say something or to care for somebody or to love somebody through us. When the Holy Spirit chooses to work through our lives to touch another person's life, there is nothing you're going to experience in life that's better than that." And I'm thinking in that moment, that's what I'm going to say when people ask me that question. But I don't know if I really believed it, because I still had this vision in my head of what the good life would really be, you know? Like, okay, cool. So I can sound pretty spiritual if I say that. And let's say I believe that. But also, I bet I'm going to feel fully alive when this picture in my head of what my life is going to be comes to fruition. When I'm this important, or when I have these things, or when I have that title, then I'm going to feel alive. And my life is sort of structured around that, but ask me, like, what's the best? Oh, it's when God works through us to touch another life. But really, something else. We have such a hard time believing the good news. We have such a hard time believing that you right now have access to the very thing that every human on the planet is searching for. We have such a hard time believing it. That sounds great, but let me get there and then I'll let you know. You ever heard the name Rick Rubin? He's a hip-hop mogul, massively successful in the music industry. And he one time said, "It's difficult to be really depressed until all your dreams come true." Imagine that thing that you think's gonna make you fully alive. That picture in your head that you're hoping God put there, and not just your own picture of what you want your life to look like. Imagine whatever it is that you want, and then you have it. You're still you. You're still in this world. Paul is saying, whatever my circumstances are, I'm fully alive because I'm watching somebody else learn to live with faith, hope, and love no matter what's going on. Circumstances weren't going to dictate whether he's fully alive. But sometimes we get caught on a loop in our heads. We get caught in this loop of, well, I'm not worthy of that love, or I can't share that love because no one's sharing it with me. This is what happened to me. This is not happening for me. So therefore, I gotta keep churning in my mind and living this anxiety. If it's not working the way for me that it should, it's like, whoa, when we receive the love of God and learn to have confidence in what he has done for us and to live from a place of faith, hope, and love, and we allow that love to flow through us, no matter what has happened to us or where we are, we start to feel life that we're created for. But we get stuck on that loop. So you can let it in. You can trust it. And you can let other people and experience what it's like when your life makes it easier for somebody else to believe that God loves them. But there's another ingredient in this story. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, he's reflecting on the way that he's related to them. And he says this in verse 9, "Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." There's this element of hard work. It's like we had to take care of some things in order to be present to you in the way that we really wanted to. We didn't want to be a burden to you. Part of his joy, part of feeling fully alive, included this element of having to just work really hard. Some of us are in circumstances that are really challenging and we want to change them. Good, go for it. But don't wait to be alive before don't think you have to get to some end goal before you experience the life that God has for you. You may want to get your finances better, different living situation. You may want to improve some relationships, mental health, a job situation. You may want to improve your circumstances. Yeah, work hard at it. Do it, but don't wait. Don't wait to feel alive. Don't wait to live with hope and faith and love and to share that with others, because it's in the receiving of that and the sharing of that that you actually come alive, not in the controlling of your circumstances. But it's fun to work at them. Growing up as a little kid, I remember going to the gas station and watching my parents always put in however much gas, like however much money we had. So it'd be like $3.74, you know? And I remember hanging out with a friend and they had this big Suburban and his parents were driving us somewhere. And I'm sitting in this Suburban, we pull into a gas station, and I watch his dad pull the thing off, put it in the truck, and he just hits it, just kind of looks away, just kind of talking to somebody. It's just the numbers going higher and higher and higher and higher. I'm thinking, what is happening? Who are these people? This gas tank is twice as big as ours, and he's just going to fill it up. So fast forward, my wife and I, we get married. I'm performing, doing music and stuff, and Laura's in school, and we're just pretty broke. And, you know, you go to the gas station, and you're thinking about how much you're putting in, and you're thinking about, you go into the grocery store, there's all these things you'd really like to have, but you have to think about, like, which one am I going to, and it's like, man, I want to work hard. I want to figure this out so I don't have to worry about how much money I can put in my gas tank. And it's such a cool feeling to have, like, worked so hard and sometimes driven from a need to prove myself or whatever. But it's like, oh, I've been working so hard. And then all of a sudden you pull into the gas station and you know that you can put that thing in your car, set it on, step back and be like, what? That's going to fill up. But you don't have to wait till you're able to fill it in order to say, now I'm alive. Thank God I found out that I could be alive before I had a car. You know? Because if your hope and feeling that, oh, I'm going to be alive because, you know, I'm somebody or I'm seen this way or I have this stuff, well, our kids end up going to the hospital, have some dental bill, and the cars break down, and all of a sudden all that money's draining, and you're back in that gas station like, I gotta think about how much I'm putting in right now. Is my hope, is my joy, is my sense of being alive gonna be determined by that? Or by the eternal God who pursued me and said, I love you, you have permission to believe you matter. You have permission to believe there's hope. You have permission to let yourself be happy. You have permission, Greg. That stuff, yeah, let's work on it. Let's work hard. Let's do some cool things. Let's get to a better place. But please don't wait to be alive. Paul's like, I'm fully alive. You know, Paul, he knew what it was like to be really important to very influential and powerful people. He had that experience. Many years later, after encountering Jesus and walking with Jesus, being caught up in the life of Jesus, here he is saying, now I'm really alive. He's reminding us that we can be too. There's another section of this chapter 2 where he's reflecting on the hard work, but he's also reflecting on the way that he was able to love them. He and his friends. And anytime Paul writes about how we ought to love one another or the way that God is working through him to love somebody else, it's always a picture of the way that God has loved us. Every time. It's always a reflection of this is how God has loved us. That's why I'm saying love each other in this way. This is the way God has been present to us. Therefore, be present to each other. He's like, when we're present to each other in the way that God has been present to us, you're unlocking something. And yeah, the circumstances are important. Let's work hard. But in that experience, something happens that we're created for that brings us to real life. And so I'm going to read these three sections, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. And then I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and you'll see this theme where he's describing love through the lens of family. Verse 6, we were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. That what's translated to young children is literally the word infants. We were like infants among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. For you know, verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. He starts off by saying, we came to you like infants. What is he pointing to there? Do you remember how God put on flesh in the person Jesus? How did he show up? As an infant. And in that statement, in that embodiment of humility, in the way that God pursued us as Jesus coming into the world as an infant, it was an embodiment of a statement and a promise to say, I'm here to pursue you humbly and to identify with what it's like to be human. Becoming vulnerable. Putting on flesh. Hebrews 4:15 talks about how we have a high priest that knows what it's like to be tempted and to suffer. That's Jesus. Paul is reflecting that story, saying, we came to you like infants. We came to you vulnerable. We came to you to identify with what you're struggling with. And we came to you knowing that we need your help too. There's something about becoming fully alive in this life, in community, when... What's up, brother? You want to find a seat? You guys good? Cool. Like, when somebody comes into your midst and like, let's say Paul coming into this community, he's like, we came to you as infants. It's like saying, I came to you knowing that we need help too. And it's important to understand that in community, when we to be fully alive, we have to be willing to understand and believe that we need help as well. And there's circumstances that some of us are in, undoubtedly in a room this size, where somebody's dealing with something pretty difficult, extremely difficult. And I would dare to say the promise of the gospel is that no matter what has happened to you, no matter where you are, you can start being alive right now. And often that begins with this embodiment of, I'm vulnerable, I need help, and believing that you're worthy of that help, that God desires that for you. Paul is painting that picture of coming to them humbly, but then he also paints a picture of a mother and a father. And he describes a mother as one who would care for her children gently. It's this idea of, we didn't come to you in order to dominate you and to force you into something. We just wanted to do life with you. We want to be gentle with you. That's the way God has mothered us, cared for us. He talks about, and we were like a father in the way that we encouraged you and comforted you and urged you to live a life worthy of God. It's like he's expressing the gift of being able to put courage in somebody else. Think about the struggles you've been in, the challenges of your circumstances, and the opportunity to be with another human being and tell them, you know what? It's not always going to be like that, and you're going to be all right because you can have hope. And you say that to yourself in the exact same moment because you know you need somebody to sit with you and say that, but you're saying it to somebody, and it's like, I'm putting courage in another human being. I'm going to make sure that they know that they're going to be all right. This is all going to work out in God's plan ultimately. And I urge you to keep going, keep believing, keep having hope, faith, love, keep doing it. You experience that when you allow yourself to believe it and then allow yourself to share it with another human being, and you see them sort of lighten up and be like, I can believe that there is something here. I can believe that God loves me. That's where we start to access that life that he has promised us. When I think about the mother and the father lines as well, I thought about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I wondered if he connected that at all. I don't know how it connects, but I wondered that. And then I thought about first in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says basically, we made humans in our image, male and female, we made them. Talking about the triune God creating humanity. And there's a fullness in the picture of God's image when we see man and woman together, and this idea of that diverse union and the creation of this family. It's a metaphor throughout scripture, and Paul is saying this is how God has loved us, and this is how we get to love each other. And you don't have to wait for it. Is anybody in here waiting? Are you waiting to be really alive? Do you feel like you have to work through everything first? Do you feel like you have to achieve a certain thing, be seen in a certain way, arrive at a certain place? The promise of the gospel is that you don't have to wait for new circumstances, but you can fight for new circumstances. Just do it with him. And it's going to take hard work, but trust me, that's part of the blessing. We all know that it comes with hard work. And I just encourage you to think of ways that you can, on the road you're already on, be present to others in the way that God has been present to us. So how are you going to respond to that in your life? This promise that you can have hope together with others on the road that you're actually on. There's a prayer at the end of this passage. It's the last bit of scripture. Could you put that up on the screen? Yeah, so Paul prays this over them as a summary and what he hopes for them, the hope for them together. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. May your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. So that's the prayer this morning. I don't know where you're at circumstantially and in life, but don't wait to be alive. If you receive that love and let others experience it, that's where we receive it. That's where we encounter it. And I know it can be really hard because our circumstances can feel crushing at times. Or maybe you're overwhelmed by everything going great and still wondering, why is it no better? Why am I still looking for something? It's found here. So I think about that family or that father and daughter at the public market. And my hope for myself and for you is that we wouldn't miss the enchanted life that's available to us in the lives that we already have. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, thank you for every individual in this room, for the families and the communities that we represent, the brokenness we come from, the joy that we have, all the mixture of life that's in here right now. And we thank you for the hope that we have together, this hope that we don't have to wait to be really alive. We don't have to wait to receive the love that you've promised us, and we don't have to wait to share it with others. Give us the courage to believe that you love us in the way that you say you do. Give us the courage to live according to that we are forgiven because of the death, resurrection of Jesus. We are forgiven. We have the Spirit in us to be part of the kingdom now, and we have eternal life. And we have this opportunity to be really alive in this world right now, in the lives that we have, by simply having confidence in that work that you've done, and being present to others in the way that you've been present to us. I pray that you would give everyone in this room, including myself, an opportunity to see the fruit of that kind of faithfulness, and to give us eyes to see, ears to hear what truly matters, and help us to access the most satisfying life possible in the lives that we have before we accomplish anything else. God, give us that grace and that mercy, and please don't give up pursuing us and seeking us. We trust you, Lord, and ask you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Greg Marshall. At this time, we welcome you to join us in person for our weekend services, or join us online at eastbrook.org/at-home. For more information on Eastbrook, visit our website at eastbrook.org.